All right, tonight let me invite you over to the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verse 9. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 reads this way. It says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne, thanking you again for the privilege that we have to gather together as your people and, Lord, as your church, and Lord, knowing that you are in the midst of us, and Lord, you know more than any one of us what we need, and Lord, we find that in your word, and you direct us and guide us. Lord, may you give us a humble heart that would be willing to be submissive and to follow you in all your ways, and that we would be used for an honor and a glory to your name, and a blessing to each and every one else, and especially, Lord, a light to the lost world. Bless your word, bless your people. And again, Lord, we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of the message this evening is simply, "And let us not be weary in well-doing." And let us not be weary in well-doing. And so we'll take a look at three thoughts this evening, and that's in the process of how not to be weary in well-doing. What is the well-doing? Well, the restoration in the spirit of meekness, restoring people. The law of Christ, and we'll look at what the law of Christ is, and then be not deceived. God says, be careful that you're not deceived, that you're not misled. That's the whole objective there in being deceived. The world can deceive you, can it not? It can say, this is the way to go, and it's not the way to go. The devil can deceive us, can't he? He'll tell you, this will be good, and it won't be good. But there's something else that can deceive us. You know what that is? Our hearts. Our hearts can deceive us. The Bible says our hearts are deceptive and desperately wicked, and so we need to be careful about that. So concerning this weary and well-doing, and God doesn't want us to be weary and well-doing, we are running a race, right, that's set before us. And I look at it more as a relay race, right? Every generation has their course, has their lap, if you will, and so this is our generation. And so when you run a relay race at the beginning, they tell you to kind of set your pace, you know exactly where you don't turn it all the way on at the beginning. You kind of watch yourself, so you got to be aware of where you're at on the course before you really open it up. I mean, you start off pretty fast in that, but then you want to have some strength for the last. And then in the middle of the race, you need to stay focused on your course, right? You don't want to be looking at the grandstands. You don't want to look at the people that might be there watching the race. And then the last, at the end of the race, you need to be careful not to look at the other runners. Right? People get to looking at the other runners, and they don't know where they're going. And so God wants us to look at him. Amen? Yeah. And so we don't want to look at other runners. We want to look at the author and finisher of our faith. If we'll keep our eyes always on him, and the way that we do that is by walking humbly behind him in what he has said. Right? These are the things that he wants us to do. So let's consider verse 1 here in chapter 6. And he is speaking to believers. He says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault," and let's keep that thought there, "ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness." In the spirit of meekness. So this is not be weary in well doing. We need to not be weary in well doing and restoring people in the spirit of meekness. We need to be careful that we're not in our spirit, in our flesh, but that we're in the spirit of the Lord, so that the spirit of God that has the love and the kindness and the gentleness. Notice this. Drop over to verse 22 just for a moment in chapter 5. Notice what he says here. The fruit of the spirit. Is the word fruit plural or singular? It's singular. So as you consider that, he's not saying the fruits of the spirit. I'll do patience. I'll do kindness. He says if we just have the spirit, then all of the fruit will be produced. Amen? Amen? That's why he says be filled with the Spirit. He didn't say be filled with patience, be filled with kindness. He says be filled with the Spirit, right? That's what he says. So if we have the Spirit, we have everything that we need. And God will guide us in that, but it requires trusting the Lord in that, right? Lord, I believe you. I'm going to give of myself, and you will give of yourself. Because if you're going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to deny ourselves. So that's giving of ourselves. We've got to lay down our lives and our will if we're going to follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." How about you? Amen. We're not going to hear that if we follow our way. Amen? We'll only hear that if we follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, Peter thought he was following the Lord at different times, and he was kind of proud of himself. But he wasn't following the Lord, was he? He was following himself. Now, Peter loved the Lord. I believe that about Peter. And but listen, he needed to learn some things, as we all do. So he says this in verse 1, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Now, I don't know about you, but that's not an easy thing to do. If somebody's in a fault, that fault might be against us, might be against you, right? But we still have the responsibility of God's direction to be a restorer, right? And so that's why he says, look at verse 2, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." So bear ye one another's burdens, that doesn't mean necessarily to go over there and help them do their burdens, right? But in other words, bear ye one another's burdens is be patient with them when maybe they don't deserve patience, right? And here's the truth. You and I deserve everything God has promised because of the grace of God that's been given. Because really, in ourselves, we don't deserve anything. And so God says, you know, bear ye one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ as you're doing that. Well, what is the law of Christ? You remember what Jesus said? In fact, 1 John 4:21 says, "And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loves his brother also." Jesus said, you're to love one another. That's the commandment he left us, isn't it? And so even in spite as hard as that might be sometimes, it will only be difficult if we're looking at ourselves and not the Lord Jesus Christ. So it is paramount. And that could be wearisome. You know, you can have people get on your nerves, but that's not the spirit of Christ, right? And you can have you can't say, you know, Lord, today I need your patience. No, we need the spirit of God because we don't know what's coming our way. And so as we have the spirit of the Lord, everything else will be taken care of. That is our greatest need. That's why the Lord gave us the comforter. That's why he's called the paraclete, because he helps us do what we can't do. And he wants to do that for us, but we have to look to him. So this is the restoration of the spirit. And then look at the law of Christ here again in verse 2. "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if any man think himself to be something when he's nothing, deceiveth himself." I didn't say that. The Lord said, right? "For if any man think himself to be something," I'm something. No, I'm not. I'm not anything. God is everything. Amen? And may he be everything in me. And so when we consider that, that's what's really important, to not think of ourselves to be something when we're nothing. And if we think we're something, you know what the Bible says? You've been deceived. You've been deceived. I'll have to be honest with you. I do have the flesh. I thought I was something before, right? At times I could think I'm something. How about you? Hey, I'm important. That's thinking something of ourselves. No. Hey, listen, Christ is all important. Amen. May he be honored and glorified. And that we can't do in our strength for Christ to be first in our lives. And we don't want to be deceived. God wants us to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And I do too. I want us all to hear that. Verse 4, "But let every man prove his own work." And that is what God is wanting to do in our lives, right? Not what we're doing and what we think we should be doing, but what God has commanded us to do. Don't leave those things undone. Otherwise, we're going to be like Martha. You know, look at them, Lord, and look at me. And we're going to miss the Lord. And what did the Lord tell Martha? Oh, no, Martha, she's chosen the better thing. And not that the other thing was wrong, but she chose the better thing. And so, let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Praise the Lord that God is working these things out in my life. I am seeing the grace of God working out in my life. I'm seeing that and by the way, we don't have to back up there, but we just finished up here in chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit. All these things that God wants us to have. And then he says, if you have all these things, then you know what? We're going to stand right before the Lord. We're wise, realizing that we need the Lord in our lives, or we're going to run aground and be a shipwreck. So he says this, verse 5, "For every man shall bear his own burden." In other words, we have the responsibility to bear our burden, and that is to love the Lord Jesus Christ with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, and the fellow believers, that we should love them. unconditionally, as he, that we should love them as Christ has loved us. It is his body. You know what? Listen, God does not want to show up with an his bride to show up with an amputated arm. And that's why I tell you, listen, it's important that we be unified together. How? In the Lord. In the grace of God, that we be unified in one body in the love of God to move forward for the grace and glory of God. And so he says, for every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate or share unto him that teacheth in all good things. In other words, the truth, the things that are good, right? The things that are important. And so he says, be not deceived. And that's the last thought here. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. If we veer away from the word of God and walk in our own ways, according to our own thinking, we're going to be wrong. Because our thoughts and our ways are not God's ways. And so God wants us to walk, how? With him. Humbly. Humbly. We listen, why did he say that? Because he knows us. Listen, I need to walk humbly with the Lord. And I want you to know, I don't have it mastered. Every day I've got to ask the Lord, Lord, I need you. I need you. I always tell you this. I'm one step away from falling flat on my face. I believe that. Mm-hmm. You think I need the Lord? Absolutely, I do. My wife will ask me sometimes. She'll hear me talking. And she'll say, who are you talking to? I said, I'm talking to the Lord. And I keep talking. I ask him, Lord, help me to honor you and to walk upright before you. That's who I want to honor and glorify. Not anybody else, but the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says again, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the what? So there's two places we can sow, right? Shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And then he says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Why would he say if we faint not? Because it's not easy. It's a battle. Now, fathom this thought. When we're in the Lord Jesus Christ and he's working for us, his work is easy, but the flesh fights it. The flesh says, oh, no, I don't like that, see? Because that requires me to deny myself and to walk humbly. And the flesh says, I got this. The flesh says, I can do this. And I can do it better. Even, you know, I got a better way to work it out than the Lord does. I'm telling you, my flesh will tell me that, right? And I know it's lying. Now listen, verse 10, this is the last verse. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto what? All men. That's everybody. Especially unto them who are of the household of faith. That's fellow believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's do good, amen, one to another. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight. Lord, we do thank you for your mercy and your grace and your patience and your love toward each and every one of us. You are so merciful. Lord, we are undeserving, and yet you are so kind and so good to us. Lord, may we understand more about what it means to humbly walk and follow your will and your way for our lives. Bless Northwood Baptist Church. Build her for your honor and glory. Lord, may we see souls saved. May we truly be the light that you've called us to be and the salt of the earth. And we'll praise you, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.